It's amazing to watch President Trump in this whole thing under this intense turmoil the guy's been dealing with for 2+ years, that he's not fretting it. You can tell this is the advantages of not being a politician, of actually being in business and being in a real job and actually having to sit across the table from somebody in negotiations and having business deals. Because your average major business merger or acquisition doesn't, it's not instantaneous. It takes months and months and months to finalize, to go through legal work. And there's pressure and stress on the CEO or the person who leads it throughout the entire thing. And only somebody who's been in those, and many of those, would have the reaction that President Trump is having at this point, which is, okay, whatever. We can use this to our advantage in one way. So this article from Politico.com's Gabby Orr says that Trump invokes Kavanaugh to fight impeachment. Now, instead of fretting about being dealt a bad hand, the president's reelection campaign is trying to weaponize impeachment to boost its messaging and fundraising. So, of course, this has Donald Trump is on the verge of becoming just the third U.S. president to be impeached, but his allies couldn't care less about this week's history-making, legacy-shaping vote. How is this a legacy-shaping vote, Gabby? When his entire legacy has already been written, he hasn't had a chance to form one, right? Because you people, yeah, Gabby, you people have made it your life's work to say any little thing that is being done by President Trump is an impeachable offense, right? Or this is impeachable, or that's impeachable, or this is something I've never seen before in the history of the presidency, and so forth. So why would he fret about this? Considering you've never given, the guy hasn't gotten a day off from being blasted by you people since he became president. So when you say, oh, this is a legacy-shaping event, no, it's not. It's not. Because it's being viewed as what it is, a partisan operation by people desperate to overturn the election of 2016. So that's why they couldn't care less, because they know the people who are writing this quote-unquote history already have a negative slant. We'll get back into the article. Instead, they're singularly focused on the vote that will come November 3rd, 2020. Why? Because that's the only one that matters. Trump knows this impeachment's not going anywhere in the Senate, so why should he worry about it? The one that matters is the one that comes up in 2020, his re-election. And already, the article continues, already choreographing an election strategy that capitalizes on the impeachment itself. It's almost as if Gabby does not realize that President Clinton used this exact same method. And President Clinton stomped out Bob Dole in 1995. So it's almost as if there's no precedent for this. That this has never happened ever. Back into the article. At the heart of the strategy from the Trump campaign and the GOP itself is a belief that the more Trump and his allies embrace impeachment, framing it as an inevitable outcome of a system run by bipartisan elites, which it is, the more voters beyond the president's base are likely to gravitate towards that message. It's, once again, it's almost as if Gabby does not read polls. I mean, polls don't matter that much, but the fact that they definitely don't matter now because they're actually showing that impeachment has been a complete bust for Democrats. And more people are just tired of this. The longer this goes on, the longer it's a losing message. So, yes, Trump's people are going to embrace it and they're going to run with it because that's what smart people do. They take something that is supposed to be a deal breaker and they completely turn it around on its head. You could say Obama did that very well, right? He was very good at doing that. Of course, he had a lot of help in that, but still. Rick Gorta. Oh, I can't stand Rick Gorta. But he says, we now have tangible example of what happens when you elect Democrats to go to Washington. This is what you get. Together, Trump's re-election team and the RNC have spent about $11 million on impeachment-related ads since the inquiry began on September 24th. They plan to drop another $350,000 on advertising this week, according to the RNC. And you know where that spending is going? In those Trump swing districts. Because that's what you do. That's called smart politics. Gabby is just absolutely a flutter that anybody would do this and not just accept impeachment and roll over and die. Seven party officials, Trump campaign staffers, and the White House aides who detailed the GOP's most post-impeachment strategy acknowledge that some damage from impeachment so far and the risks in the month ahead. Wow, that's just collateral damage. Any smart prognosticator is going to not, they're not going to paint you a rosy message. They're saying this could also be something that happens. You have to prepare for all, any and all scenarios. Listen, this could be really good. We could fundraise a lot, or it could backfire. But we have to be prepared for both. So, once again, you're reading, I'm reading to you here in the Bear Brief on the Crusade Channel, the writings of somebody who just went to college and went straight to work for Politico and has never experienced any of this stuff real time.